scump praça.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show with two Brasa, two movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
I'm Jody.
Yeah.
So much more energy this week, Ross.
Yo, so I have to act like I'm not talking about the last in this
episode. Because it's a week later, you didn't.
I know it's a week later, but we time travel is there, okay? We're doing the future shit. Whatever. Fuck it. I'm not. You came here for real, Ross. This is real, Ross. I'm tired. I'm hungry. No, I'm not hungry, actually. I'm eating a croissant. My
Lucozade
is starting to kick in.
Yeah.
Electrolytes are coming back.
Nice.
Feeling a little hydrated.
Lucozade was like colored people's go-to for machvek. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
You have a little
that.
Machvek? Have a Lucozade.
No, I remember.
Doctors used to
my
say this.
My used to give me what? Cod liver oil.
Cod liver to bind you.
Was that to bind, not
to
bind
us?
I can't even remember. Cod liver oil, fucking oli blara.
Liquor.
A tablespoon of oil and a tablespoon of vinegar. That's what I used to get from my grandmother.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I thought you got that from
what? What was the for steak triples?
Yeah.
So my mother used to put like a teaspoon of sugar, and then she puts the drops on the sugar.
And then they wonder where you started getting to the tequila from.
Yeah,
right?
Now I have type 2 diabetes. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, all those remedies and yet nothing for your mental health.
No, nothing for my hair growth. Bloody still bald. Yeah.
You still all right, Johnny?
I'm good.
How are you this week, Johnny?
This week I'm even better because Ross is sober. Last week was tough.
No, I would have been sober. I'm sober, but I was drunk the night before.
Yeah. Also, we have a special guest again this week.
Not again.
Not again.
It's Daryl and Jenna. Back like a heart attack.
Couldn't get rid of them for this week.
If you don't name your son or baby, I don't know if you revealed. What did you reveal to the world? Nothing.
Nothing. You're still going to do a gender reveal because you get more presents.
Yeah. So if you don't name your child Daryl,
Daryl,
now the fans are going to be upset.
Exactly.
You have to.
Everyone's invested.
Would you guys settle for a middle name, Daryl?
Yeah.
No.
D E, copy on the E.
Listen.
So you get the hard.
You're going to be in the hospital bed. Mm. We will deal with the documentation.
Admin. We are renowned for our admin.
He's an admin king. He'll die. Like. Johannes Daryl Felton.
Movie podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Let's talk about some movie news, Jody.
Our news and shorts.
Shia LaBeouf.
A.K.A. Shia LaDouche.
Yes, you. I see
I
you
at that time.
That's not how you spell douche, though.
That's how I spell douche.
Yeah, the Dutch. Wrong way.
It's Dutch.
So Shia LaBeouf is obviously still working after his issues with FKA Twigs and the abuse and all that. And so he's kind of, I feel like he's also on a sort of a, what do they call it? That tour where they...
Comeback tour.
No, it's a one where they like, oh, I'm not a bad person. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
apology tour vibes.
Yeah, they call it public struggles and legal issues.
Ah, yes.
You know, so you don't get too specific.
So he was on John Bernthal's podcast.
Apparently the place to be nowadays, the real one's podcast.
Yeah, it's also, also strangely, it's like copaganda, that show.
Yeah.
Weird, eh?
Yeah.
And he played the Punisher. But anyway, Shia LaBeouf was there and he had quite a lot to say. He spoke about his mental health and his issues that he had in the past and the work that he's done on himself and all this jazz. But there was one thing he mentioned that you and I like.
Yes, which is related to the film that he directed and wrote, Honey Boy. So in
I
that
haven't seen it, have you?
Me neither. No, okay. I haven't seen it. But in the film, he writes somewhat autobiographically about how it was growing up. And he plays his father in this movie. And the film...
Honey Man.
Honey Man to the Honey Boy. Mm. And the film portrays the father as being very abusive to what is a young Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Goes through all of the press for the movie talking about being abused as a child and how difficult it was. And he's now gone onto the podcast and admitted that he made it all up. His dad is actually not an abusive honey man. How fucked up is that?
Yeah, but it's Shia LaBeouf though. So, no, but hear me out. So he did... I'm not making excuses. I'm saying...
And the excuse is, yeah, but that's Shia.
No, that, I'm not making excuse. If you hear me out, which I asked for, well, then you're in the wrong place, my bro.
So, in the podcast.
So he, I don't know if you remember, he did that stunt where he was doing performance art and all that.
With
and
a bag over the head.
Yes, and then he did created that short film, which was... plagiarized and all that jazz. So I think it was just an extension of that. And that fucking him doing this cuck and then revealing afterwards, oh, it's a big... It's like he's... It's this joke that only he is in on.
Yeah.
And all of us are just like...
And like I don't feel that there's any sort of genuine aspect to this, like coming clean and apologizing. Because he talks about how he'll have to live with this forever. I'm like, no, bro, you told everyone your dad's abusive. Mm. And your dad has to deal with the fallout of that.
Oh, yeah.
You are just going on to podcasts and doing news interviews now, making yourself, again, the center of attention.
Mm. Also, it's like that was, not that it was an excuse, but, you know, hurt people. So you assume, okay, he was abused and that could be part of the reason why he's an abuser.
Yeah.
But now he's just an abuser.
Yeah. He's just an abusive douche.
So it's all very strange. And it's just like, fuck, man. Maybe he should just fade away. Or maybe we just don't watch his films anymore.
But then he does something good and people are like, nah, you know, he's talented. No, but this was fucked up, man. Really.
Yeah, he needs to fade into the darkness. Zac Efron. Details, impact of Baywatch diet and exercise. Yo, but did you watch his show?
Which one?
The one where he does things.
Al Bundy.
No, the show.
Ted Bundy.
What was that Zac Efron show where he goes around the world and looks at things? And he's like, yeah, look at this thing.
So he's basically...
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain. He's basically doing Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, but I like watching Anthony Bourdain do that.
Down to earth with Zac Efron.
As he move. Yeah. So in that show, he looked so... weird and strange. I mean, his facial features were different to like the film and stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah.
He
looks bloated and dingy. So I'm wondering now, in reference to this, what we're going to get into. Wow.
Fix that in post.
No, let's leave it in. Abby has an opinion on alcohol, babies. But you can usually, I don't think he's as alcohol free. You can usually tell by their low ears.
Mm.
Yeah, they have low ears.
Okay.
They are physical features like that.
Yeah, yeah. They got low ears.
Low ears.
Their ears are low. It's like,
Surname low or?
No.
Height.
Like on their head. They got their low ears. It's like, this is.
My mother's.
You have to talk like that.
My mother's maiden surname is low. That's why I was a low order.
No, you're fine, I think. But I think that ties into what you're going to talk about now is the change of appearance.
Yeah, so Zac Efron has spoken about how in the Baywatch movie, obviously everyone connected to that film, except for that guy who was the comedic relief, had to get into insane shape for their representation of lifeguards, apparently.
Mm.
Zac Efron's diet... his diet, the lifestyle that he needed to live in order to achieve that physique was apparently insane. He slept 4 hours a night because he needed to work out constantly, he needed to eat constantly, but he also had to eat the same 3 meals on repeat throughout. He was also on high-level diuretics, which obviously flushed the system of fluids and whatnot, and had like basically 0% body fat in order to look like he did in Baywatch. What happened subsequently is that he became insanely depressed because taking those diuretics, it's like metabolism boosters, and flushing out fluids from your body.
Oh, wow.
But it's just not good for you in any shape or form. And what's left out here is any discussion around steroids, which probably were involved as well.
If I had to eat the same 3 meals over and over, I would be depressed as well.
I'd go crazy.
Holy shit. And it's probably like that fucking unseasoned chicken breast.
With some broccoli.
Manitsky. Yeah. Kill me now. I'd rather be a duck chop.
Yeah. So he's advocating now for like roles that are not as focused on needing to look like that in order to...
Well, it's his own fault.
Well, yeah.
He put himself in that situation.
He chose it willingly.
High School Musical.
Yeah. Ross, the one thing I've taken from this is that we do not have to go to the gym and we need to eat varied meals, man.
No, I mean...
As many as we can.
Fuck this.
You know?
Listen, it's unrealistic body expectations, and it's on all of them. Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, all these, Chris Hemsworth. Like, everybody has to buff up and dehydrate themselves when they do a topless shot and all this. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And somehow women still have it worse.
Men find a way.
Legit, like, we need to be okay with men not looking that way in films.
Yeah.
And even Jason Momoa got so much shit when he was just walking around like a normal person. And they're like, look how fat he is. Yeah. And they're like, no, he's not fat.
That's a normal person.
That's his body. He's just not dehydrated for the topless shot. Okay, that's it. And it's like, Zac Efron, I do blame him because he chose these roles and they probably pushed him into this thing as the, you know, leading man, hunk, muscle guy. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. If the industry doesn't change, then it's not going to change.
And also, it's like there's a demand for this type of thing. Like from
muscles.
Well, visually, people need to look like that in order for films to be supported.
Yeah.
And who's responsible for that? That's the audience at the end of the day.
It's us.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
I mean, that's what I look like. If I don't drink a bit of water, Adrian, you here now. You can back me up. Mm. No, she's
I'm dehydrated right now.
See those abs?
No, my six-pack is in a cooler bag at the moment. But yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks. And they have to change it. Or you choose roles, like he's going to do.
Yeah. And now he's doing like a lot. He's focusing on roles that are not where his sex appeal and his body is not key to playing the character.
Yeah. You just want to be a good Charlie St. Cloud.
Here we go.
That does cuck.
He also played Ted Bundy in that Netflix
thing. Yes. I didn't watch that, though.
Me neither.
I did enjoy him in Bad Neighbors.
Yes, he was great.
Yes, that was
great. Opposite your favorite comedic writer / actor / producer, Seth Rogen.
He's not my favorite.
He's right up there.
I didn't start. Hey?
Yeah.
No, I'm not on his dick.
You
literally.
Slide down it somewhat.
No. I just think he's doing things that no one else is doing at this point. And taking the
films
boys,
about
the boys wouldn't have been the boys
without him. Yeah,
him and Evan Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah.
It's better than the comic. It's very few things that are better than the source material. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Zac Efron.
Thank you.
Cool, man. Live your life. eat a sticky bread.
Eat, pray, love, my friend.
Star Wars. Yo, there's so much Star Wars.
A lot of Star Wars
right?
out there. Not all good.
Not all good. And it's sad that, this is a movie podcast, so we're supposed to talk about the movies. But it's sad the movies ended the way they did. And we probably won't talk about Star Wars for a while. But somehow you found a way to put news down.
Yeah. Well, we covered D23 previously.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came out of D23 is that Star Wars is not doing any films anytime soon. They are invested in their series. But after the, let's put it as mixed reception of the last trilogy of movies, they're going to see how things play out for a bit, you know?
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, I think they pissed off a lot of people, me included, but for different reasons to other people.
Yes. Not so racist and sexist.
It wasn't racist and sexist. Mine was more like the
story.
Decisions that were made. Yeah, story. And they did, John Boyega, dirty, man.
Him, Kelly Marie Tran.
They even did Ray dirty.
Yeah. So, I think it's maybe a good thing that they assess, but also do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Don't do it because you're scared that your psychotic fanboys are going to...
But you know what blows my mind,
Jerry? Racist or do
also,
a sexist, you know?
This fandom is, like, massive. Mm. And there's... tons of fan fiction and all this shit.
Yes,
and
so much.
You can't. Are you telling me that they can't pull from all this cuck like everything that's available to them. You can't say that they can take things from there and build an amazing
made lots of those things canon. Like a lot of the novels in the beginning were not canon and just became canon. The same with the comics, the same with the animated series.
Yeah.
There's, like you said, there's so much to pull from, but it's also, even when they do, when they use that existing material, if you don't put a white male in the lead, then people are going to lose their shit. Or if you put, like, Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka.
That's going to be quiet, that show.
People lose their shit.
That's going to be quiet. I'm actually okay with this. I have The Mandalorian. I have Ahsoka. I have the shows to keep me in the Star Wars lore.
Yes.
Abby only enjoys one, The Mandalorian. She didn't watch the others. No.
Not yet.
What's that? You watch Boba Fett. Boba Fett wasn't so quiet.
No, it was a Mandalorian story.
No, the best episodes were the ones with The Mandalorian. Yes.
That's what everyone goes.
But yeah, okay, let's play in this sandbox for a while. Get your fucking shit together with the movies. And then we'll see you in 2024.
A few fan interventions, you know?
Wait, so will they start production in 2024?
I think they'll only start considering what to do from 2024.
Okay.
Because Rian Johnson apparently has a trilogy still guaranteed.
No.
Yeah. You need to pee-pee? Okay.
Again?
Are you going home?
You can't walk as far.
That's downhill, man. That's okay.
Oh, man. 2024. Let's do it. Idris Elba, a friend of mine.
Yeah, you've met him.
I've met him, yeah.
So I'm not on the prom.
Obviously. And people have always, well, for the longest time, they wanted him to be James Bond. Everybody's like, he's got to be the new Bond. He's got to be the new Bond. But imagine with the backlash of the racists, how this will go down.
Not well.
Anyway, but he commented on it. He finally commented on it. And what did he say, Jody?
So he said that as of now, this is not a goal for his career to play Bond. He thinks it's fantastic that he's being associated with the role because it shows that people's mindsets are changing finally.
Yes.
That they even consider a black Bond.
Yeah.
Which, again, is indicative of a problem in and of itself.
Yeah.
But this is not something that he feels he's actively going to push for.
Yeah.
I think he's also, like we've said before, with anything Bond related, people are not going to do like a yes or no for certain.
Yeah.
They need to leave the door open. But he says that if it happens because it's like the will of a nation instead of him campaigning for it actively. Mm. I have a theory about what they should do though. I wouldn't cast him as Bond.
You would cast his daughter?
No. Struggling with roles that time. No. I would cast him to do a meta thing. Mm. He's the bad guy, and he's a bad guy who tried to get into MI6 and couldn't, and he's now like the opposite of Bond as a villain.
Mm.
So you do a whole meta thing about him never being chosen for the James Bond program or for the 00 program, and now he's a villain against him.
Mm.
Yeah, but then according to James Bond, outcome he will lose.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a villain.
He's a bad guy.
And he will be 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
700. Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
No, but how does this tie in with his other franchise?
Which? What's his other franchise?
With The Rock in it.
Oh, Hobbs and Saw. I don't know that Brixton's coming back. Neither Brixton died,
isn't he?
Neither, he rebooted him. They wiped his memory.
Whoops. Shit, it's too late now.
It is. They've waited way too long.
It's too late. He would have been really good. I think also because of his, he's suave, but he's also gritty at the same time.
Yeah, he still comes across as grounded in whatever role he plays, which maybe cuts him out from wanting to do like a Bond who's supposed to be like this elevated character all the time. But like the tuxedo, the action sequence.
Jackie Chan.
Not that great movie. No, I'm saying Idris Elba in a tuxedo, Idris Elba doing the action sequences could pull it off.
It's like the tuxedo. I don't remember Idris Elba.
No. It was a background character.
Oh, fuck. Jennifer Love Hewitt was in that tuxedo.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Yay.
Yo.
She must just cut bangs.
A five in. Got the five in. she salutes Roy.
Sure. Shame. Yay, she's an all-star now.
Jennifer.
Party of Five.
What are you waiting for?
Wait, was she in Party of Five?
That was Lev Campbell.
No, Lev Campbell was the other sister.
Lev.
Neve. How do you say it?
You said Lev.
She was not. Neve Campbell was not being paid. She's not coming back for Scream, eh?
No, she's not getting paid enough.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
How can you not pay your fucking number one star? Anyway. Yeah, what were we talking about? Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. But we're done with that now.
Yeah, we are done. Yeah, did you see Yahya Abdul-Mateen's comments?
About?
About,
I didn't.
Aquaman.
Clearly. No.
Oh, he's a role in Aquaman and his superhero movies. He said he referred to it as clown work.
Oh, I did see that. Subtle. But I mean, Idris had the same thing to say about Heimdall, remember? He's like, he went from doing Nelson Mandela to hanging from like...
Yeah, but Heimdall should have gotten his own series.
Yeah, he should have. Which they might still do.
Yeah, nah, they won't do it. Idris don't want to hang from stuff anymore.
Nah, he's done.
But yeah, I was like, yo, my bro, how much are you getting for that movie, first of all?
And then, grateful.
Like, if you now an actor who wants to be taken seriously, then no work is clown work. Mm. It's all up to you.
Gotta embrace it.
You go in, you give 100%. If it's 100% silly, then do 100% silly.
Exactly.
Fuck, man. These fucking people earn too much money. But I do like him. He's a good actor. Mm. Anyway.
I digress.
Tom Cruise praises theaters while performing a death-defying M18 stunt.
Yeah, this man's crazy.
Yeah. No, he's not crazy. He is a Scientologist.
That explains it all.
Yeah, it does. No, it's the hubris. Mm. The theaters.
Nothing can defeat him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not time, no stunts, no gravity, no bullets. Like, he honestly...
His best friend dying.
I think he honestly believes that he is indestructible.
He's not wrong.
And he might have gotten humbled when he broke his leg.
He carried on running, if you remember that scene. So, no.
Just injected more teeth in there. Give me a double dose. I gotta go back. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Tom Cruise, he praised the comeback of theaters and whatnot. While performing one of the... I mean, this is probably early on in the Mission Impossible 8 filming. But he does this insane stunt where he's just like lumming on a plane. And like takes off. And he's just hanging out. This is stuff that other people... Like, it's the key moments of movies. Tom Cruise is just casually... just like, hey,
he
guys.
He does this for fun. Yeah. This is how he goes to the shop.
On the back of
Let me take the plane. No, I'll be on top.
He is insane.
Yeah, let him keep doing it. Look, I still think he's going to die doing one of these things.
He still has to do his space movie, eh? He hasn't done that yet.
What is it called?
It doesn't have a name, but he's going into actual space, remember? That's the plan.
Okay, you worry, though. I am excited for this.
Mission Impossible. Oh, yes.
Yes.
No, they're doing seven, seven and eight back to back.
If he is going to die.
Which they apparently are thinking about not doing because they'll just carry on the franchise. This is not necessarily going to end the franchise like people initially thought.
He has to die making the ultimate sacrifice. He has to.
Mm. Yeah. Tom Cruise or Ethan Hunt?
Both.
In the same film.
Yes. The only way for this film to end is for Tom Cruise to really die and Ethan Hunt doing the final stunt to save the world.
And then we'll just live on with TikTok Tom Cruise for the rest of our lives. Deepfake
Tom
Cruise.
He don't have the juice.
He's got the teeth.
He doesn't have the what it takes. He doesn't have what it takes. He can't be that guy. And I hope that should happen. If I will believe in God if that happens.
There's one small thing. If that happens, Tom Cruise to die while he's filming a movie.
I'll believe in God. Yeah.
Lord, from Russ's mouth to your ears.
If it's one time for mysterious ways, this is it.
Sec, it's time for a review.
Okay, this week we are reviewing two films. Me Time and Day Shift. So starting off with Me Time, directed by John Hamburg. Sunny, a stay-at-home dad, finds himself with some me time for the first time in years while his wife and kids are away. He reconnects with his former best friend, Huck, for a wild weekend that nearly upends his life. This movie stars Kevin Hart, Mark Wahlberg, who else? Regina Hall. What is that guy's name? Her boss is...
I don't know his name.
Luis Gerardo Mendez. And then... Yeah, I think that's about it. There's no one else that's super interesting. Mm. Oh, the best friend of Mark Wahlberg, the guy that's the DJ, he's Tia and Tamara Mowry's younger brother.
What's his name?
His name is...
Tero.
Errol Mowry. Taj Mowry, yes. Thank you, Jim.
I knew it was a T.
You were there with Errol.
Apparently they beef me, eh?
Who? The Mowrys?
The twins, yeah.
Makes sense.
Wow.
Anyway, so another Netflix film. We're doing two Netflix films this week. And this one is... Oh, yes. Well, that's a spoiler, Jay.
Yeah, yo, what the fuck, Jay? Now. Just
cut that out. Yeah.
Yes. What did you think we were doing this whole time?
What do you think we're doing?
No, we onto the reviews. That's
yes,
what she
means. We in the films. So, this is Kevin Hart's third Netflix film.
How many does he have in his deal?
I don't know. I actually have no idea what his deal is. Because, Jen, you like asked about the Adam Sandler films. Thing as well. But Kevin Hart is like, he's been busy because he's also done specials for Netflix.
Hustle Hart. That's Hustle Hart. Yeah. You know, always keep working.
Yeah, him and Marky Mark. Yeah, they both wake up at 3.
They wake up before they go to sleep.
Yeah. Yo, go and look up Mark Wahlberg's schedule. If you want to have a good chuckle.
No, the guy's a fucking idiot.
He sleeps at like 5 p.m. to wake up at 1.
Yeah, I can't just mark it.
Anyways, so Kevin Hart has done 3 movies on Netflix. This being the third one. Fatherhood, Man from Toronto, and this. The quality vacillates in these films.
I didn't watch Fatherhood.
Okay, that one was not terrible.
Okay. The one with... Heisenberg? That wasn't a Netflix film.
The one that's the adaptation of the French movie.
Mm.
I don't know what... Intouchables is the French one. I don't know what this one was called. But it's not the Netflix film. That was Amazon Prime.
Got you. Also streaming.
Yeah.
Is he? He's just doing streaming movies.
It looks like it. He's not really doing big cinematic movies anymore.
I suppose it's like you made your money already.
We say that, but he did Jumanji's.
Jumanji triple times.
Yeah.
I mean, the third one is going to happen still.
It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah. Are they
going to
bring them in? Anyway.
We digress. So, me time. Interesting premise. Kevin Hart is a stay-at-home dad. Very successful wife played by Regina Hall. He
wasted.
Thoroughly wasted. He has completely devoted his life to being a stay-at-home parent who's like typical stay-at-home parent stuff. Into the PTA, helping at school, directing school plays. His life is his kids. He has no friends. All of that jazz, right? Mark Wahlberg is the cool friend who they lifelong relationship with. Still wants to be involved in his life, but they've separated and aren't really in contact anymore. That's about it for the plot. The movie revolves around him finally having some me time.
That's fucking all Kevin Hart's plots are just like there.
Yeah.
You always pitch like one thing. This is nothing. This is the guy that I am, and this is what I have trouble with.
Yes, and then I exaggerate those
hijinks, and then that's going to help me overcome this.
Yeah, thing. So it's basically like a riff made into a movie.
Fucking formula over and over.
And you know what? This is an interesting topic that could be explored in like a more...
If we had more time.
Now I'm talking about the film's premise of like a stay-at-home dad who's... Yeah. Like, doesn't have an identity and all of that. Interesting.
Yeah, it could be done.
But
wow.
Not in these hands.
His hands are too small.
Yeah. It's way too tiny.
And that's my issue with this. It's fine. He's putting out just, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I laughed.
Yeah. Look, it's a Kevin Hart film. So there's going to be like one or two random moments where you like have a chuckle. But for the most part, it's just like... this is not funny.
Now
it's
look,
phoned in.
It is phoned in, and he doesn't have the range. I suppose that's why he sticks to the formula, isn't it? People keep watching it.
Well, apparently there's a demand. But like you've said before, you and Abby have basically given up on Kevin Hart, right? You guys don't really like watch his go out of your way.
No,
for his
but
films.
We like Kevin Hart in certain contexts.
Mm. But there's just too many.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
You did you like that movie? I think the main thing I think is that I know how funny he can be.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the movies, it's like, why aren't you that funny?
Yeah. If you look at his stand up when he was like post Soul Plane, when his acting career was kind of in the shitter and he was trying to establish himself again, one of the funniest people out there was that stand up. And then he became this monolith of just like every movie seemingly had him in it. For a period, and he had the biggest stand-up gigs, and
look, I respect you know, striking like, it when the iron is hot. I mean, he's got a huge
make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, he's moving. Yeah. He can't do this forever. So I get it, but I would just like some variety from him.
But I also think he oversaturated. Like he actually went past that threshold of he was just in too many.
But
things.
Not in his fans. Like Kevin Hart fans, they love seeing him as
true.
Much as possible.
That's true.
Are and you
know,
a fan? Okay.
I like movies and I laugh.
Okay. Mm. Did she laugh more than you?
Same amount, I think. Probably.
This
yeah. Mm. I think you weren't that into this one, right?
I didn't really.
Mark Wahlberg brought it down for you. Hey? Yeah, you don't remember it at all.
And that's my thing. Like, people shit on Sandler for his, like, the deal that he got and the fact that there's lots of very bad movies. I think Kevin Hart is kind of like a... He's more or less the same in everything.
Mm.
Sandler's ups and downs are like way... His ups are way higher. Mm. The downs are way lower. But
yeah.
It's worth it for those ups.
Yeah.
Like the good movies he does. Yes, I think so. Because... Yeah. Like you switch it on a Friday. That type of buzz. Or Sunday night or Saturday. Yeah. I think so, but it's like it's to the actor's detriment because, like now, he's typecast as that. You'll cast him in the movie where you don't need anything.
Remember, this is before now the decision, right?
The Netflix to yeah.
The strategy for the movie.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not going
to
do
well,
shit.
Well, I mean, you need to elaborate because not everyone knows.
You don't know artists.
At least.
No, you elaborate so like a man.
Well,
me.
Netflix is instead of doing their weekly films as they've been doing. Was it weekly or what was their plan? Like basically weekly. They are supposedly going to they're supposedly going to invest in better quality stuff now. Mm-hmm. The series are also going to become they're not going to release everything all at once with a binge model.
Most of the streaming services are not going to do that.
Yeah, they're going to switch over to weekly now instead. But look, for people like Kevin Hart, I hope that's the case, that the quality is going to increase with what they're doing.
I don't think he's got the range.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the biscuits or the minerals.
Watch Fatherhood.
Something. Never.
Go take a look at Fatherhood. It's a much better version of Kevin Hart.
Okay,
that
maybe
movie.
I watch Fatherhood and that other one.
Which one?
With Eisenberg.
Oh, what's
are
that?
Are you Crocs that thing?
I just
thought
I could cross my legs and I can't.
Okay, and so you're saying Fatherhood, he shows some
it's a
promise.
Much better version of him because he's not as like this bombastic. You know, he does the same shtick in every movie. And we haven't even touched on Mark Wahlberg, who also does the same fucking shtick in every film.
Damn it,
and putting the two of them together.
Say hi to your mother for me. Mark Wahlberg also is the same thing.
Have you seen Andy Samberg?
Yes. That's what I'm referring to.
Hey, dog. What's your name? That's a nice name. I like your name.
Say
hi
to
your
mother
for me,
okay? How long is Mark Wahlberg in this film?
Too long.
You say too long. I don't remember him being in
It's quite a bit. No, he's in most of the movie.
And what's the runtime of this bad boy?
1 hour 40 something.
40?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your best
like
colored dad.
40 minutes too long.
Your best colored dad impersonation.
40?
40 minutes. Bring me change. Bring me 50 red change.
No, fuck. I don't even know what to say. It's so forgettable.
Yeah.
I did not have that much fun. I think this is going to be like even the hijinks themselves. The jumping,
waist on very
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, yeah, the jumping from. Really. I can't even remember some of them. I remember the first one where he jumped off the cliff thing.
And then is the lion, the mountain lion thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the mountain lion he fought.
Yeah, and then it's going to the wife's boss's house. And like you said, Regina, oh my fuck. Like, why even put her in this movie?
Why?
If you are going to waste the
she
character.
She is amazing. She has way more range than Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're going to put her, because she can do zany, no?
She can do zany, she can do serious, she can go...
She's from the school of scary movies.
Exactly, the good ones.
Yes.
The actual good ones.
So she can do that shit. Why would you not involve her in that?
No, a big waste. Huge, huge waste of a character. Even the arc with the kids, you know, where he's like living vicariously through his son and
yeah, yeah.
He's forgotten career and stuff, but none of it, I don't care.
Mm. It was just a lot in the movie.
Yeah. That is true,
way,
to his.
Way too much.
Mm. I'm like, you went through so many like phases and shit in the movie, and I'm like, was it necessary at all?
Unnecessary.
I mean, as you're saying that shit, that is supposedly one of the funniest gags. Him taking a dusty droll in his wife's pastor's bed, like again, just way too much. Like,
yeah, it's not. Once you've done it yourself, like you don't find it funny anymore.
Yeah, once you've shat in the bed.
So I didn't love it all.
No. I feel like this movie is unfortunately indicative of bad Netflix movies.
Yeah.
It's not memorable. It's wasting good actors.
Yeah. And well, Kevin Hart is not a good actor. I think Kevin Hart should stick to his comedy and his interview stuff. That interview show, I mean, the clips that I've seen are fucking hilarious.
Which is this one he does with, not with Snoop?
Heart to Heart.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
When Don Cheadle tells him how old he is.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah. And then who spoke to him about that afterwards? Like the next interview he did, they spoke to him about, dude, why did you do
Don Cheadle like that? So he's so good at that. And it hurts my heart because he's so witty and so funny in the right context.
Look,
every time he just serves us a trolichi in a bed.
Yeah.
You know?
A little tiny stave of
doom. This is a knife from me, my bro.
That's a knife from me too. Spoiler alert.
There's no spoilers even.
Yeah, there are no spoiler discussions.
I don't have spoilers,
Seal. Seal pictures up in the movie. Mark Wahlberg is doing Mark Wahlberg through the whole film. He's more clothed than what I expected. I kept expecting he would just be topless for some reason.
Yeah, because he's got muscles. But it was nice to see Seal.
Yeah, Seal looks good.
Yeah.
Seal, that voice, man.
He came on, he was balancing a ball on his nose.
Yeah. That lesser known hit.
Nah, it was cool to see Seal. I'm a huge fan. And I'm glad he's okay.
Look, the director of this movie has been involved with like either writing or directing things like Meet the Fuckers, Along Came Polly, I Love You Man, Little Fuckers, Why Him.
I Love You Man is great.
He directed that. Directed and wrote it.
Wow. Mm. So what the fuck was this?
In any case, most of his other stuff was just kind of meh.
Slapping the bears. Mm. Slapping the bears, man. How are you slapping the bears?
Yeah, fucking.
Okay, let's just do a Paul Radcliffe instead.
No, we should do a Paul Radcliffe.
Okay, anyways.
You must no Google spoiler. Paul Rad in Wanderlust, talking in the mirror.
Oh, my God.
When he's going to sleep with someone else. Put the dick in your bed.
So good.
This movie was so good that we started talking about
we started talking about something else.
Yeah, we already said.
You wrap it up, okay?
You guys need that day. I'm not good with happiness.
No, you must wrap up your attitude. Okay.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
The next one is Day Shift. Directed by J.J. Perry in his directorial debut. A hardworking dad out to provide for his daughter uses a boring pool cleaning job as a front for his real gig. hunting and killing vampires. Starring Jamie Foxx and very misleadingly in the trailers, apparently Snoop Dogg, Dave Franco, Megan Good also doesn't do much in this film.
Yay, she's an all-star. She's an all-star.
I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying she doesn't get a lot to do
What's
in this
movie?
You got served.
You got served.
Day shift.
Oh, day shift.
Yeah.
It's a vampire movie with Jamie Foxx, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
sorry, Jody.
Fascinating premise, this film, as everyone has already alluded to.
Yeah, it's a fucking shit show, yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie, Ross. This film, Jen and I, Jen, I don't have to talk for you this time. But we were not particularly keen to watch this movie when we saw the trailer.
No.
And then you said, let's actually go check it out. We should watch this.
Yeah.
And very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Fun plot. I thought they're going to go for like a Van Helsing vibe, like other monsters and stuff, but focusing on vampires.
Yeah.
And Jamie Foxx has a fucking ball of a time.
He is. You killing can tell he's having fun.
See how buff this dude is in this movie.
Who?
Jamie, the fox.
Oh.
The fox truck.
Is this on his way to Tyson or what?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because he looks huge.
I love Jamie Foxx.
Massive.
He's
so good in this role.
Not only that, like the stories that he tells.
Yeah, no.
There's one story where Suge Knight was outside a party and stuff. Like, he does the accent. He did someone's accent recently.
Tarantino.
Was it Tarantino?
He's been doing Tarantino.
No, he did another person that shocked the shit out of me. Anyway, but in this movie, you're right, he's having a ball of it.
So much fun. Mm. In all the best possible ways, which I think reflects in the movie. Like, it's an interesting story. Vampires exist in LA. And
with a Michael Bay filter.
Yeah, a strong Bay
Super
filter.
Super saturated, like Los Angeles.
That
looks so
that
hot.
That orange brown. For the whole movie.
I don't want to go.
No.
I don't want to go. It looks God.
It actually looks, now that you mention it, it looks a lot like Pain and Gain.
Yeah.
No, the whole
the
that deep, deep saturation. Yeah. But it's a fun, fun story. Like the existence of vampires, the fact that there's this whole underground vampire hunting clique that exists, or what you call them, like it's a job, basically, that exists, that go after them. And Jamie Foxx is a dad trying to have access to his daughter and needing to lie to his family about being a vampire hunter.
Yeah, which I also thought was odd. Why are you lying to your family about what you do for a living?
Yeah, and he chose pool cleaner.
Yeah, oh, well.
I mean, that equipment is just lying all over that bucket.
<Yeah.
laughs>
Also.
Jenna's got a question.
Yes.
Yeah, you
put your hand up, we now have to stop. It's like a Teams meeting. That little hand emoji came
put it down.
Sorry, Jenna has a question.
Put your camera on, Jenna.
It wasn't clear that everyone else knew about vampire's existence.
Mm.
Not until his wife was surprised when she saw him.
Sure, but that's your wife. And you literally are doing a job where you could die at any moment.
Even any day.
Why wouldn't you say, I do this for a living? You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To protect him from, my bro, he could literally die. And then, how do you explain?
He'd be like, oh, if this is the case, then I want to leave now and not be around you.
Oh, I was cleaning a pool and then I died
and
I got two holes in my neck. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. But I overlooked a lot of stuff.
It's such a fun.
What do they do with the teeth also?
Yeah, I don't know what that market
Why is
for.
It so valued?
Same like lion teeth, bruh. It's the same thing. People are stupid.
You people are forgiving a lot.
People
here.
Will buy anything for any reason.
Like
I want to switch up to NFT. Dave Franco.
Dave Franco. He was a little irritating, but he was playing that line.
You know what, though? I cannot stand Dave Franco most of the time. In most movies, I'm not a big Dave Franco fan.
Really?
And that irritating Dave Franco in this movie, I loved it. Like, for me, this was perfect for that thing that he does of, he's irritating, he's a know-it-all. The constant gags, I don't think we should say it now, but the constant gag of what happens when he's in fight scenes.
You like that.
It That's so juvenile.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is juvenile. I'm glad you know it.
The way that they presented it, yeah, I was like, I was down, man.
That is so down. Surprising.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not gonna dull your shine.
Thank you.
But I didn't find him as I didn't find him as funny.
I loved it.
Wow. Yeah, the underground world is cool. Of vampire hunters, and I just don't understand how the currency works
with the teeth.
Yeah.
Well, they try to represent it with like there's like a stock market for the teeth.
Yeah. So the older the vampire, the more value the teeth.
Yes.
If
they were on drugs or not has an impact on the quality of tooth.
Yes. As in real life, and then the type of vampire as well.
Yes, because there are
different types.
Yeah, they were bitchy. Heavy with the exposition on
that. I can't remember it.
They threw it out there, Ubers and this and
Uber,
that.
Yeah. And then
I can't remember the others.
I think one was Taxify.
Bolt. Those are the dangerous ones. Damn it, there goes our Bolt sponsorship.
And then just a straight up high ace.
Yeah. You forgot about that guy that stands at the airport telling you, Uber, Uber, because he's an Uber.
I haven't flown in a while. Okay, you don't have to talk about your jet-setting lifestyle right now, Jody.
You'd know if you travel.
Yeah, okay, Jody. Mr. fucking first class up in the clouds. It's up in the clouds. Can you Google that for us, please?
Thank you.
First class up in the clouds.
Yo, dude, my favorite cameo in the movie.
I don't care how you get there. Just get there, Jenna. Yeah.
Favorite cameo in this movie.
Seal. This is the...
Scott Adkins.
Who's Scott Adkins?
Do you not know who Scott Adkins?
I don't know the name. White people look the same, remember?
Scott Adkins is an action movie legend, Ross.
He is, yeah.
Undisputed. Amongst other things. Yeah. Like from three. The Nazarian brothers.
Oh, you're talking about the stuntman and actor guy.
Yes.
Love that guy. Yeah. He's a legend.
Along with Steve Harvey, who was in Shameless. And
yeah. He's like the legend of B-grade action. But the the action in those B-grade action movies are amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah. They, like that whole scene with the Nazarian brothers.
No, they should get the show.
I would love to watch that.
They should get the show. The two brothers.
Hey, bro, pull it.
They need a show, 100%. Okay, the lyrics are... Is it in the sky?
Is there another thing you want to apologize for today?
Oh, God. Just a blanket apology for today and last week.
Hey, yo, they broke you. broke you.
Kiki, worry. I would... Let's write to Netflix, and they need a show. The two of them.
That would be amazing.
Yes, sis.
As a continuation of this story, they were awesome. I wanted more Nazarian brothers in this movie.
So the director of this film comes from stunt.
Yes, he has a strong.
And I think when I recommended the movie, I said you should watch it alone for the stunt work. And they hired a lot. So this was filmed during COVID, and they hired a lot of contortionists. Who had no work.
I wanted to ask you what was up with the contorting. The number of people who just like...
Yeah, but these people weren't working. So this was like...
That's a real, dope.
Yeah,
that's
so they hired the contortionists who now obviously couldn't perform and they got to work in this film. Mm. That's why all of the vampires are like... Okay, or most of them anyway.
It was a weird amount of contorting.
Amazing, in the context... Of that, like a creature that is not human that's moving like that. That old lady fight in the beginning.
Yeah.
Class, cool. The stunt work was amazing.
The stunt work was brilliant.
Shotgun shot, man.
And they used some,
in the air, it was so good.
No, all of the stunt work was great. The story is like, I don't even really care what the story was. I mean, Jamie Foxx is trying to make money. That's it. And then there's the subplot of the baddie.
Let's talk about the villain.
Yeah.
Weakest part of the film.
She looked exactly...
We don't watch it.
Yeah, she's in Argue 12 Minutes.
Yeah, Carla Souza.
But she's good in other stuff, no?
Carla Souza.
She's not good in this one. And she's what is not, the point? She just wants to buy property don't from
you
vampires.
Think, don't you think that she looked exactly like the lady from Blade 3?
I was going to say, why didn't they make it Parker Posey?
Yeah, okay. I like Parker Posey.
I love Parker Posey.
She's tatty.
Okay.
But she wanted to buy property up so that they can have a vampire village or something.
Yeah, she was filling up LA with vampires again because the numbers had gone down. I'm like, okay, but...
Why?
Why? Can't you just bite more people?
No, she wants... She wants pure blood.
Oh, she wanted Ubers.
Ubers, yeah. I mean, Uber Blacks.
XL. Why was she young? Okay, but, don't spoil it there.
No, they...
Let's see where you're going.
Oh, okay. So, I'm going to say... Kwai.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Very, very quiet. Jen, Kwai?
Kwai, I like it.
Abby's, you can see the way she's shaking that paper. Now it's Kwai from Abby.
Shake that pepper, girl.
Shake that pepper, girl.
Yeah. So, Dave Franco dies in a sense.
Yeah, that was... I was actually sad when that scene played out. I'm like, why did they kill him? And then he just puts it back on again.
Yeah, and you see, now, it was so much exposition, and you couldn't take it all in. And you don't fully understand the rules.
Yeah.
And then he can somehow put his head back on.
Yeah, and it just like fixed itself.
Eventually. And then they said, yeah, it's a new Uber. I don't know what.
Because he did reference like apparently some vampires can put their heads back on again. But it's such a big
I had forgotten. I didn't catch that, I think.
Maybe. And also, who can do it, who can't, and he needed blood in
it's
order
a lot
to
of
heal.
Rules and that they didn't have enough time for.
No. But again, when the movie's fun, then you forgive that type of thing. Whereas if the movie's shit, then you're going to like,
where was Jenna going with the young thing?
The twist of who Jamie Foxx, his character kills in the beginning, the old lady, is the daughter of the main villain.
Yes.
Which we would think it's the mother because it's old woman, young woman, but actually it's her daughter. And she must say, my precious, which is so weird.
She does.
She
references it.
Yeah. Looks that old. Yeah, but I can't even remember.
She turned her. I think she was a human.
The daughter.
Yes. So she got turned before, and the daughter was young but aged, and she wasn't a vampire. And then she turned her into a vampire when she was old, I think.
I believe you. I cannot question
this. This could all be a lie, though.
You're remembering this through a sober mind.
Yeah, yeah. So can you give some salt so that Jody can just take it with a pinch? Thanks. Yeah, I think she does for sure reference it. I'm just not sure what the story was.
Yeah. So that's, I think, the driving factor then for the...
And, okay, the other woman...
the one who's like also a vampire.
Somehow helped him for no reason, lady. That was weak.
Natasha Liu Bordizzo played Heather, who was like the neighbor of Jamie Foxx, and then just like, I'm also fighting vampires.
Yeah, I'm a vampire, and I don't like them, and I'm going to help you.
I'm a pure vampire.
For why? Why?
She's pure.
Fuck that, man.
She's the taxicab
of vampires. It would have been amazing for just him and... Dave Franco muddling his way through his new vampire power.
And he's gone towards
the... I didn't like the fact that he could somehow fight and do things.
Like right away.
Yeah.
The more
I would have
he was
loved,
like...
Now you set up this character that pisses his pants every time.
There we go.
Spoiler. Yeah, he pisses his pants every time there's danger. Imagine him accidentally killing people.
Yeah.
By like wanting to hit them, but then he hits her head off or something and him reacting to that. That would have been so much more cool.
Yeah.
And him just running. Now he just... it's like that fighting just gets in his DNA. And
somehow he's just like super karate contortion-y now. Speaking of
trash,
Snoop Dogg is hyped up in the trailers as being like a key part of this movie.
He is.
He's in like 5 minutes of the whole...
Those are five key minutes.
Oh, the best five.
Those are key minutes. Yeah. He gets Jamie Foxx back into the organization. Mm-hmm. And then he kills... The other people.
He self-sacrifices himself.
But not
but
really.
Does he?
Not really. He still comes out of the sewer.
Yeah.
And he lets Jamie Foxx fight
but
hand
he should
to
be
hand.
A vampire, right?
Yeah, he should
be a
vampire.
They put him in the neck and then he's just like, nah, I don't think I'm going to be a vampire now. Smoke the injury. I'm good.
Also sunblock, like what are they using?
A moose, a lot of sunblock. SPF 50.
No, but that's SPF like 5,000.
But the Nazarian brothers explain like it's made from bone or something.
Oh.
Again, just like thrown out there.
You see, this.
Yeah,
so much
I heard
shit
about that SPF made with bone, whatever, totally covers the sun. There's
you
lots
see,
of random shit
you
like
see,
that.
I've totally like, missed that.
Yeah.
Nah, it's a lot of fun. I didn't like that fight at the end between the villain and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
I like the way she died, though. It's a nice callback to that string.
It always works. Yeah.
Always works.
Cut.
It makes sense because you will never see it coming.
I didn't.
Didn't you see that prank where they put tape, clear tape
oh,
in
yeah.
the doorway?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, that's cockfighting. And it makes sense that you would have, imagine you in a fight.
Yeah.
You'll run straight through that doorway.
Yeah. No, that worked like a bomb.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, Los Angeles looks too hot.
Especially for vampires.
I would like to work at, as a pool man, though, if I was in that city. Megan Good also, whatever. Mm. His daughter was fine. That's his actual daughter. Is it his actual daughter?
I don't think so.
Jamie Foxx.
Zion Broadnax.
No, that's not Jamie Foxx. That's her name. It's not Fox.
No, it's Broadnax.
She was also okay. Yeah. I just think it was a lot of fun. I forgive a lot of things. You're right.
Yeah, I don't mind like a lot of stupid stuff.
But
I think,
Dave Franco.
Like JJ Perry as a stunt coordinator coming into directing. We've seen the same thing with Chad Stahelski and Leach as well.
And that Extraction guy.
Who was that? David Leach. Was he
Extraction?
Yeah. Anyway.
The guy.
It seems like.
No, man. Google it. Gina, what are you doing?
Extraction guy.
Extraction, the director.
Director of Extraction?
Yes.
Okay, the movie.
The movie, yes.
Okay. Sam Hargrave. They fat the lung.
Sam Hargrave. Yeah, same story. Thank you, Jenna. Not Jody. He also came from stunts and then into the movies. That's I think it's the only way to do it. Also, yeah. BT Dubs, before I forget, you should watch a show called Gangs of London. So that is from the director of The Raid.
Will do. The Welsh guy.
Yeah. Mm. Gareth Evans.
Gareth Edwards.
Edwins.
Yeah. Edwins. Thank you.
Okay.
And we got the wrap-up sign.
Boom, boom, cha. Vampires. Also, been a while since vampires have been at the forefront of something.
Vampires have not been it for quite some time.
Not since ruined by Twilight.
Twilight.
Anyway. Any shout-outs this week, Jody?
Shout-out to Jenna joining us for recording 8.5 months into a pregnancy. Thank you. It's so nice having you here. Next time with a baby.
What do you do with that?
No.
Oh. Yeah, no, fuck that. We
and
can't
yet, I'm here.
That is true. I also love you.
Two of us are here.
Do you have any shout-outs of anyone not
had,
in the room?
We had people who tagged us and shit.
No, that's okay. Not a shout-out.
Then I don't have anything else, Ross.
Okay, and there's no Graziano gripes?
No, we finished all the Graziano gripes.
Well, that's that, and Butter is fat. If someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, Bicycle Brasser Podcast, and they can write to us, bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Look, everyone stay safe out there. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.
Keep it a good game.